You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Good Morning Football. We are live in New York City here. Of course, it's Thursday, May 4th. I'm Jamie Erdahl, Kyle Brandt, Jason McCourty, and Mike Garofalo filling in for Peter Schrager this week. Kyle, happy National Star Wars Day. Explain it to the good people, please.
May the 4th be with you. Today is May 4th. This has been adopted in this country and around the world as National Star Wars Day because of May 4th.
Time for the lead block.
Lead block.
Let's talk about the Jets. Sauce Gardner and Aaron Rodgers becoming fast friends since his arrival in New York. Why not? It's kind of the unlikely pair. You didn't know you wanted to be friends, but now you kind of love it. The duo attended the Knicks playoff game on Tuesday night after dinner. Of course, they had dinner at Carbone. My goodness, who wouldn't? Yesterday, Sauce was asked about his team's ability to handle the added attention and pressure now that Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback.
It is no pressure. You know, when it comes to playing in New York, you just got to tell yourself, I'm built for this. And, you know, me and Aaron, we just caught ourselves yesterday just telling each other, like, I'm built for this. You know, he said he built for this. You know, I was just trying to share with him, like, my experience when it comes to playing in New York and how my mentality was to just, you know, just had a mindset that I'm built for it and just embrace the New York culture, embrace the New York media, embrace the New York fans, embrace everything that comes with New York.
Well, and of course, the Jets fans have certainly embraced Sauce Gardner because he was the Defensive Rookie of the Year. And who wouldn't? He played awesome last year. But are we buying his answer, though, that given the added attention and pressure that comes with Aaron Rodgers, that the Jets are really built for this in 2023? Do they have the building blocks, Kyle?
I feel like they do. Mm-hmm. And I want to start with Sauce's Rookie of the Year cohort. Garrett Wilson, a guy that Rodgers threw it around with and started raving about. We have to really understand from a pure talent perspective what he accomplished last year. He's the Offensive Rookie of the Year at wide receiver. Over the last 20 years, that's happened three times. And pay attention to the quarterbacks who helped their receiver get it. Ja'Marr Chase got it with Joe Burrow, Odell got it with Eli, and Percy Harvin got it with Favre. Garrett Wilson got it with Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Mike White, and Chris Streveler. Mm. That's how good he was. That's how talented he was. That has not happened in a quarter century that a wide receiver got the Rookie of the Year with that type of play. I love him. I think the quarterback is wired for it. I think the head coach is wired for it. I think Hackett there helps. And as far as everybody else on defense, are they experienced? Have they been in big games? Hell no, they haven't been in big games. But there's something to them. They have an I don't give a bleep factor that I think we are seeing centralized on Sauce. And we saw it at Lambeau, and we've seen it at pretty much every NFL function that has been held since then, which he has attended all of them. That takes a lot right there. We've seen a lot of rookies in Lambeau. A lot of rookies play well. I've never seen that. There is a chutzpah a cojones and a carelessness that comes with youth that just does that and say, like, I belong here, I'm him, I got the dog in me, whatever the hell you want to say. And I think it's very contagious. I think he's not the only person on defense who has it. Are they going to beat the Bills, the Dolphins? I don't know. I know that they think that they can, though, and I think they have the talent to beat anybody. So, yes, I think they're built for it.
Yeah, I think the fun thing about them, when you talk about being built for it, you talk about the youth and Sauce, obviously, with the cheese head there at Lambeau. I think it goes beyond just, like, the big kahunas and not caring. I think it's part of being young and having that level of ignorance. I think you go into some of these games. I remember playing with a young player, J.C. Jackson, in New England. It was like we'd be going into the playoffs, like an AFC championship game, and practice for him was just the same. It was almost like when your mom tells you, you're a little kid, like, don't touch the stove, don't touch the oven.
I'm touching it.
Yeah.
I'm touching
and you're it. Like, I don't really understand what hot means. So you go out there and you touch it. You know what I mean? And for them, there's a lot of young players there that you're like, I don't really understand what the big hoopla is all about. Sauce Gardner's courtside at the Knicks game, like, no, I don't know who some of these superstars are. I don't know who Jessica Alba is. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is asking me these questions. I have no idea who these people are. Quincy Williams is like, well, I was a little starstruck. Like, I told my coach, let me get a minute so I can take it in that Aaron Rodgers is actually on my team. So I think for this Jets team, it's a ton of fun because these young guys, they don't know about how big this moment is, what it means to be built for something. Like, we're just out here playing football, having fun, burning cheese heads in the offseason in a grill to get Aaron Rodgers here as a star quarterback. I think you couple that with some of the veterans they have on the team and the playoff experience they have and them playing in big games, bringing in a Randall Cobb, obviously Aaron Rodgers and his experience. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Brown is on the roster. He's played in a good amount of playoff games. Having those guys mixed in with young guys, rookies, and all the above, it gives you that great mixture. And then obviously Robert Saleh at the helm, he gives them that energy and that confidence to go out there and continue to play and feel the way they feel.
You know, Kyle, you talked about cojones or whatever word.
Yeah.
You know.
Chutzpah.
How about marbles, right? Remember Major League 2? You have no...
Yeah,
he's looking for his translation. Marbles.
He's talking to Serrano.
Marbles.
Yeah, I remember.
This team has them. I know they do. I've seen it. You said, are they going to beat the Bills? They beat the Bills last year.
They covered
that game.
They did.
At MetLife Stadium, 20-17. There was a drive where I said, this team is just so close. When we keep saying a quarterback away, it's not just from a talent standpoint. It's from that chutzpah standpoint. They didn't have it last year. No offense to Zach Wilson. There's a lot of stuff going on, and the Jets are hopeful that he's still going to reach that potential.
Sure.
But now they've got it at that position. And I felt like they had it team-wide. There was a drive that they had in that game where it was just run after run after run after run.
Mm-hmm.
They got the ball with 7:53 left, and they gave it back after kicking a field goal, 1:45 left. And then the next drive, Bryce Huff comes out and hits Josh Allen and injures his elbow, but also strips the ball, and they close the game out. And I'm saying, everything I saw from this team, running game, defense, everything, I saw this swagger that Joe Douglas and this front office has been putting together and Robert Saleh has been trying to instill. But right there, that's the final piece. So when they say they're built for this, I think this team was slowly, methodically built, literally, for this by Joe Douglas. And now this is that last piece that's going to give them swag at the most important position. I'm not a Jets fan. My friends are Jets fans.
Sure.
They're excited. I'm excited to cover this team this
year.
I can't wait because now they're fun. Now they've got that swag.
It's pretty cool.
They got to have guts. They have swag. They also have to really, really, really be obsessed with football. You got to be in the building. The greatest quarterback to have ever played and won Super Bowls, many Super Bowls, just retired this offseason. And Tom Brady, the notorious story, one of many about Tom Brady, is that he was in the building the earliest, he was in the building last. He demanded perfection from his players. And it wasn't just wide receivers, the guys that it was everybody.
Yeah.
He knew what everybody was doing at all times, and you can attest to that,
for
right?
Sure.
I'm sure Aaron Rodgers has, if not all of that, some of that to him. So now he arrives in New York, but he's got to walk into a building in a locker room that players are also in there that are going to buy into that mentality too. Sauce Gardner has that. So here's a quick story. I was at the Combine in Indianapolis in early March. Quarterback's day. Quarterback, wide receiver, tight end. Long day. 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. We're in the building. Sauce Gardner, the defensive rookie of the year for the Jets, was in the building in Indianapolis this year for the 2023 draft from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The guy loves football. So Stacey Dales is like, Sauce, you just going to be around here all day today? He's like, yeah, I think he was on NFL Plus for a while, and that's great. His obligation was done with the network. He stayed. There were three Cincinnati Bearcats that got drafted. He did a craft with me. We put a number one Dales because she looked like one of the prospects. He did that tape craft with me. He's sitting around. He sat in a folding chair then from 8 to 11 p.m. and just watched the tight ends work out. A single tight end from the Cincinnati Bearcat team was drafted in the fifth round. Josh Wiley. Right. He just wanted to see his guys.
He likes
the kid loves football. He can't get enough. And if you have a bunch of Sauce Gardeners walking around that building coupled with Aaron Rodgers' talent, I think you have something special because it can't just be guts and chutzpah and talent. You have to be obsessed with it because I think that's one of the few things that will sustain you for 18 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. You got to have people that are built in. I think the belief that Rodgers brings will bring everybody to the table to put in that extra work. I think the biggest question mark is going to be the Jets are going to be under a different pressure, and that's real. When people walk into MetLife Stadium to play against them, the fact that Aaron Rodgers is under center, you're getting everybody's best shot. You're circling them on the calendar, so I think that definitely changes things for them, and you don't know whether you're built for that until you get into those games and you're part of some of those moments.
Yeah. I also just think we've gone around, and Mike's saying, where they beat the Bills last year, and they did, and you know, I talked about how good Garrett Wilson is, and like, this question is about so much more than how their roster is built.
Yes.
Right.
This is a machine that's being built in media and in culture and in coverage. And the mission here, if they go to the wild card and lose, that's a disappointing season.
Indeed.
Big time. Are they built to handle the burden and the pressure of, like, we're the Jets. We haven't done squat since we were little kids. And now we have the most famous NFL player in the world, probably. And, like, it's just so much. Can we see in a time in week 9 where somebody's like, I'm tired of this crap,
yes,
I'm lashing out, or 4-5? Like, that, the roster's great. I love the players. They did beat the Bills. They have really good players and coaches. There's a burden that's going to be on this team that we'll see if the bleep it factor turns into bleep you, stop talking to
them. But they do remind me of that team under Rex Ryan, minus the bombastic head coach.
Interesting.
Robert Saleh is confident in his team. He's confident in himself. He's not that outwardly outspoken guy, but they've got that same kind of feel to them right now than that team, which I also covered back then. I just have the most important question to me. Do you think Sauce sleeps in that chain?
I don't know.
Great question. It might create a neck strain, an injury that
Sauce
you don't want to have here with Jets defense. All right, coming up on Good Morning
Probably
Football. Kyle yesterday had the audacity to put Trevor Lawrence as a sixth-tier quarterback in the AFC, and let's just say he lit Twitter on fire because Jags fans were coming for you, my friend.
Rank things and people will respond.
Yep.
Hello, fourth. Plus, Micah Parsons is putting on weight. Is that good? I think it is. He's playing defensive end full-time and he's adding muscle. Is that terrifying? Big deal or no big deal? We've got all kinds of takes next.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
you think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Cousins back, pressure, and Parsons got him. Just go down, Kirk. Just don't hurt yourself. He's split to the right, back to throw, looking middle, sacked again by Parsons again. Burrow back to throw, looking, oh, he's chased. Parsons has got him again. RPO fake, and they're all over him, and Micah Parsons has him buried at the 15-yard line.
Oh, he's a fourth to be reckoned with, isn't he? It's time for a round of big deal or no big deal. We start in Dallas, where Clarence Hill Jr. of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reported that Micah Parsons will be moving permanently to the defensive end position in 2023. Parsons is expected to bulk up ahead of the season to prepare for this new role, and Parsons has now confirmed that. He took to Twitter to clarify exactly what it means to bulk up. He said, people hear bulk up and think I'm going from 246 to 270. If you've seen any of my videos, I'm still very slim. I'm putting on good weight. We should try that sometime. Good weight. Yeah. I'm standing at 252 pounds currently. I will not surpass 255 at any time in my career. This is just me putting on more muscle to carry the load. And the load would be the huge bag of money that he might get eventually because he's still playing on his rookie contract with the Cowboys. Certainly an interesting situation that I'm sure the Cowboys coaching staff talked about a lot with him in this offseason to make this kind of commitment. So what do we think, guys? Micah Parsons permanently moving to defensive end. Is this a big deal or not a big deal?
Not a big deal for me. And I think I'm saying that based off of what's transpired throughout his young career. You look back at his rookie year, he did a lot of lining up off the ball as an inside linebacker. But then you look at last year, a lot of the damage he caused was on the outside, rushing the quarterback. And that's going to be the most important thing for Micah Parsons. When you're as good as a player as Micah Parsons is, sometimes we look at this and be like, well, what position can you consider? It happens on offense for a tight end. Is he a tight end or is he split out and is he a wide receiver? For Micah Parsons, no matter where he is, this guy's going to get a ton of sacks and he's going to wreak havoc on the football field. So no matter what, he's going to get paid and he's going to get paid a lot of money. I think he just wants the clarification. Hey, it's not rookie year anymore where I'm lined up as that inside linebacker. Don't classify me as those guys. But if he's an outside linebacker, defensive end, an edge player, all of them to me are the same, and he is going to go out there and dominate regardless.
Yeah, rookie year, according to Pro Football Focus, 55% of the time at linebacker. Last year, according to PFF, 81% on the defensive line. Yeah. So this has kind of already happened anyway. This is just him really cementing it, and no big deal to me. And when I say no big deal, I don't mean like, oh, other teams are like, yeah, he's lined up with the defense. Don't worry about him. No, that's a big deal. No big deal in that I'm not going to make a big thing of this because clearly he's got the consent, I believe, of the coaching staff and the organization. They understand what he's doing. Again, they're on the same page with regard to him playing there last year. No big deal for me.
I'll go big deal. Anytime Micah Parsons is going to be allocated more to purely a pass rusher, I think that's a big deal, right? Yeah. There's a thing where you hear Micah Parsons adding weight, changing position, and there's this if it ain't broke, don't fix it thing. Like, why would you change anything? Well, have you seen the Eagles roster? Have you seen the Eagles team? Have you seen the Giants where they're going? Maybe they're going to try to line up Micah and say, we love you standing up and in space, but we need you to annihilate Jalen Hurts somehow, some way. We have to find a way to compete with that team. So I like it. You know, there's a lot of fun in the weed stuff with the positional categorization. I remember we had Tyree Wilson here before the draft, and I even asked him during commercial, I'm like, how do you want to be introduced, defensive end or outside linebacker? Because I know you guys get real frosty about that. And he said, both. And I was like, whatever you want, big man. So I think Micah wants to be listed as a pass rusher. And if he's going to be playing more pass rusher, he got 6 extra pounds of muscle. Yeah, that's a big deal. He's one of the best players in the world.
They should be terrified.
I think so.
The people that he has to deal with coming at them should be absolutely terrified. I went a big deal because, as I mentioned in the intro, because of the money. Mm. The differentiation here, and I understand that if you're going to sack a guy 20 times in a season, you're going to get paid. But here's what it looks like to be considered a linebacker in the league right now. Top 3 linebackers paid average per year. You got Roquan, Shaq Leonard, and Fred Warner. It's a pretty good payday. It's not as good as if you're coming off of the defensive line. T.J. Watt had 12.5 sacks last season. Joey Bosa had 16. Miles Garrett had 16. So That is a great payday, which Micah Parsons is going to be stumbling upon to here in a couple of years. I know the differentiation, what it says next to his name. If he's sacking guys 18 times a year, that's great. It's going to get paid regardless. But I think it helps him to be in that position because the money bag.
It's so ridiculous. Just put your hand down on the ground makes you $9 million. You're playing the same position, standing up versus a hand down on the ground. It's crazy. I want to put my hand down, too.
Yeah,
I'll put my hand down for the whole show.
There you go, right?
Right?
What's the next topic, Jamie? Pay up. This is so stupid.
Here's the ultimate television tease. Coming up in just a few minutes on Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt will be presenting his tier of NFC quarterbacks. Now, this is important because yesterday we analyzed his tiers of AFC quarterbacks, and it was controversial, to say the least.
Here's how it shook out. So I just put Mahomes in a division all by himself. He is in the Mahomes division. Then you got Burrow and Allen.
Yeah.
Then you got Rodgers showing up in New York, Lamar, new contract, and Herbert. Then it gets really interesting. Mm-hmm. Russ, after one of the strangest seasons ever, Deshaun ditto for different reasons. Then there's just Planet Jimmy. I just got him here all by himself. Jimmy is so original for all his faults and all his things by himself. Then you get this one. These are like, I kind of feel like they're still underclassmen, but they're growing up fast. Pickett, Mack, Tua, and Lawrence coming off a playoff win that was a very complicated playoff win. And then you got your rookies, Stroud and Levis and Richardson. So the seven tiers of AFC quarterbacks, and everybody wants in.
Everybody wants in, to say the least. Even our own Cameron Wolf, he tweeted, quote, Tua Tagovailoa led the NFL in passer rating, and Trevor Lawrence led Jags to a playoff win, lost to the Super Bowl winning team by 7 in the playoffs. In tier 6, alongside Mac Jones and Kenny Pickett, that is a shocking take, Kyle.
Cool stats, Cam. Thanks, man.
Cool stats,
appreciate
Cam.
You.
Okay, nice. Well, how about this?
Passer
how about
rating.
Insulting the pass catchers? Jaguars wide receiver Christian Kirk also saw his quarterback Trevor Lawrence down in tier 6. Kirk quote tweeted the segment on Twitter and simply said, what? Hello?
Eloquent response.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christian.
You've gotten a lot of feedback about your rankings. Do you stand by what you did, or would you like to make any changes?
I stand. The biggest takeaways that I have from the reaction, there is very little respect out there for Jimmy Garoppolo. People are coming for Jimmy, and people were destroying
Jimmy.
Thought
he was too high?
Yeah.
I argued he was too low.
Yeah, people thought he was too high. And then, obviously, listen, the other thing I learned from the reaction is that Jacksonville has a very passionate fan base,
they
and they're ready to go, and they're very excited, and they were in the playoffs. Look, the Lawrence thing and the same level as Kenny Pickett, I don't know, probably not. 2.0, when that comes out, I'll update that. I think I had left a bad taste in my mouth where Lawrence threw 5 interceptions in the last 2 games we saw him, but one of those was a playoff win, and they were on a tear down the stretch, so Lawrence probably should have been higher. But other than that, I stand by him.
It was an interesting, because we sat through it, we saw it live in real time, and then, wow, the feedback was impressive. So this is the ultimate television tease. What did we learn from our friend in London? You say, this will be the greatest segment coming up in the history of sports talk television, because we are going to do the NFC quarterbacks, and we're going to rank them, and Luke Sky, wait, who are you? Han Solo is going to find
He's not Luke Skywalker?
No. But I did get with his sister, though.
This whole time I thought it was Luke. That's a popular character.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Here is something equally, if not more controversial than Jason not knowing anything about Star Wars. It's Kyle Brandt's NFC quarterback list. Matthew Stafford is looking to come back strong in 2023. The Rams tweeting, Nine's got that look in his eyes. Kyle, what does that look mean to you?
Well, that look, I'll just ad-lib a response as it tells me to do in prompter. That look, it's how he's looking at how our NFC quarterbacks stack up. What was that? All right, here's the deal.
What are you doing right now?
I'm having an issue with my holster. It's Corellian. It's very fragile. All right, here's the deal. Story of my life. We organized the NFC quarterbacks into seven tiers. That was the structure. You have to get them into seven. And let's just go through it. Come on here, Steady Eddie. Let's go. Let's start all the way at the top of the penthouse. Jalen Hurts, it was where Patrick Mahomes is yesterday. Now, listen, it's a much more tenuous grasp on the penthouse than Mahomes had because we have one excellent season. Down tier two, Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins effectively are like the same player at this point, so they're in together. Stafford, it's kind of like sometimes at the Oscars when you give it to someone at the end of their career just because out of respect for the body of work. He had kind of a de facto year off, was injured last year, but I think he's still there. Now we're coming down to tier three. Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Geno Smith. Kind of like, sounds right, right? I see a lot of heads nodding in the audience. You guys are like, yeah, okay. Now, tier four, some young talents. Daniel Jones, shooting up the rankings. Justin Fields, lost about 100 games in a row last year, but still impressed, and the Bears are loaded up. And then Kyler Murray, same draft class as Daniel Jones. This was thought an unthinkable draft pick. That's tier number four. Come on down, and now we got a squat. Now, I had Baker by himself, but then I put Brock Purdy up there with him. This is Baker and Brock. Mm. Number one overall pick, last pick.
Nice.
They have both been in the playoffs. They have both won playoff games. Mm-hmm. Wildly different careers at this point, but have in the same tier. Now bring it on down. Now why do we, all right, here we go. Jordan Love, Desmond Ridder, and tell me who that is, Jason, right there. Sam Howell.
No, that's from that's Desmond Ridder.
This is Desmond Ridder.
Not right. Desmond Ridder. That's the
Exactly. Jason makes my point.
That's the other one.
It's the alleged quarterback. Mike, get in here.
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell. Okay. North Carolina, plays with the Commanders now. And then all the way down here, we have Bryce Young, just because he hasn't done anything, is tier seven. So all the way from Bryce Young through Love, Baker, Jones, Carr, Dak, Jalen. That's what I got. Don't everybody thank me at once. Never tell me the odds. Mike, first question. What jumps out from this board?
Yeah.
Who did I misrank?
Yeah, yesterday, like I said, we talked about just a couple minutes ago. I fought for Jimmy Garoppolo being in tier five, should have been higher because Deshaun Watson and who else was in that tier? Forgetting, whatever, regardless. I really had a passionate feel. I looked at it, bang. It's here, I went up and down this whole thing. Okay, maybe I'd slide. I had a lot of maybes. But you know what? Maybes. Forget about maybes. My guy nailed it right here. There's a lot of hate in this world. You're going to get a lot of replies from people saying, no, no, you're out of your mind. You may even get receivers for some of these guys. There's a lot of hate in this world and on Twitter. I'm going to give you some love.
Thanks, buddy.
I like
engagement.
Not a lot of hate on this list at all. I think you're pretty good here. I would say I would possibly flip these two based on last season, just as Daniel Jones was ascending. Derek Carr struggled a little bit with the Raiders. That would probably be one thing that I would say. And your explanation of Matthew Stafford makes sense to me here. Based off of last season, you might be like, all right, maybe it was tier three, tier four-ish. But if he can be healthy and get back to where he was, this is exactly where he belongs.
Yeah.
Where the year before he was teetering on being kind of up a tier.
It's all in the details because it's interesting the Carr Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones inexplicably has started more playoff games than Derek Carr and he's won more than Derek Carr. So if you value that, it's a great body of work here. It just doesn't have those prizes at the end. Jamie, what do you think?
It's all in the details. What about the detail that where I'm missing Trey Lance on this list? Like you just didn't want to rank what potentially.
I got Purdy.
I know you got Purdy, but like that's the whole point about what in our nation
could
is
be
going
right
on
next
in San Francisco. That was my thought. I really kind of focused down here at the bottom half. I thought you stuck the landing on the top. We know next to nothing about these two gentlemen right here. So why you have them, really, I feel like we know more about Sam Howell than these two. I would put these with Bryce Young because we just don't know. We don't know what they bring. We don't know what they're about. The body of work is zero. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to leave Trey Lance off because we don't know him, then he should be at least ranked with those guys.
I'm glad you brought it up because probably a lot of people weren't watching at the end of the season. Ridder started. Howell started. Yeah. They both got a little action. They both just did fine as rookies. So this guy's completed 50 passes. These guys have done a little bit of dance. The question is, do you put Bryce up there with them despite not having taken a snap?
Right. I thought about it. Rookies in their own category.
I agree. And listen, I was thinking about Lance, too. If you go to the official depth chart of the 49ers, that dude is number one. So that's why he made the list.
Lance would have been right here.
Okay. Yeah, okay. For real. Right. Next question. Which of these 16 quarterbacks, when we start playing the season, certainly when we end next season, is going to make a jump or a fall? Who's most likely to move, Mike?
Give me Desmond Ridder. I think he's coming up here. Mm. And I think the Falcons probably don't want me to say that. They kind of like that he's flying under the radar. They're not going to say too much. But Arthur Smith is a really good offensive mind. So the fact that this team really wasn't more aggressive to go out and get another quarterback tells me that they're confident in him. Offensive line should be better. They should be more of a balanced attack. You're adding Bijan Robinson. I like Desmond Ridder to shoot up.
Yeah, I like that. I think everybody in Tier 6 is very interesting, and you're going to love to see kind of do they end up staying in 6 or moving up. But I'm going with Justin Fields. I'm going with him in Tier 4 right there in the middle. Like you said, he dazzled last year in some of those games where they maybe didn't win, but he was just fantastic. I think him obviously getting DJ Moore on the outside, them getting some of those draft picks in there, if he can get some better protection on the offensive line, he has a chance to move up into that Tier 3 area where we see him start to become maybe a stud as a quarterback in the NFL.
With the emphasis on the word move, I think there's a lot of these guys who are going to hold steady. You know, like I think Stafford's going to do fine. He'll probably hold at Tier 2. Kirk Cousins, fine. Hold at Tier 2. Yeah. I think Daniel Jones is going to move, but I can't quite figure out which direction it's going to go in. Mm. I think something's going to happen to him within this division where all of a sudden, like, I can't believe he coughed up 2 games to his division rivals, or he's just going to be spectacular and prove us all why he got that contract. He is not going to hang in the middle there. He is going to make us know if it was worth it or not to give him that contract.
Mm. I hear you. And let's talk about that. That sounds like a lot of pressure, Jamie. So the last question, 16 guys here. Who is under the most pressure to win this season? Mike Garofalo.
Go right to Tier 5, Baker Mayfield. Frankly, you should be happy he's up there in Tier 5, considering how things have gone the last couple of years. Right, but though, I think last year he said he felt like this was his last chance with the Panthers. And here we are again, right? Still another shot, but dude, like, this is it. This is it right now. I was really impressed with what he did with the Rams on short notice. But, he's kind of being dealt a shorthand with the Buccaneers this year as well because this is more of a regroup year for them. But, yeah, pressure for Baker Mayfield if he wants to keep this career going.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to say Jared Goff. He's a guy who's in Tier 3. And I think he bumped up a tier with his play last season. Mm-hmm. But with them bringing in Hendon Hooker, I think that changes things for him because now you're going into this year, and it's just like, I'm performing to keep my starting job. How long can I keep Hendon Hooker off the field? And can I convince them? We talked about yesterday, could it be a Jimmy Garoppolo situation where Hooker's traded at some point? That's going to be determined by Jared Goff's play. So to me, that's a ton of pressure to win now and get the Lions to the playoffs.
We had the same dynamic yesterday in the AFC where we had Patrick Mahomes at the top, 2 guys at Tier 2, and we ended the segment with the question of what would it take for those 2 guys at 2, it was Burrow and Josh Allen, to move up. We're going to talk about that later in the show. So my eye went to 2, and the pressure that I think Dak Prescott specifically is feeling this season because of the storied absence that the Cowboys have had from an NFC championship game. The other 2 guys, I think they're kind of made men. I think Stafford won a Lombardi for the Rams. That's great. You can do whatever you want the rest of your career. You did it that year with LA. Kirk Cousins apparently always a made man, no matter what happens. So Dak Prescott, I think you got to do something because we just can't quite figure out what your legacy within the Cowboys franchise is going
to
be.
I love it. And let me take the Dak stuff and go over to these guys. Come here. Come back in. All right. On the spot. And Jamie, everybody, you have to win a big game. This one or this one? Who do you want? Dak or Cousins? Mm. Who do you want? It's a big game. You have to start one of them. Jason?
I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins.
You going Kirk? Why?
I'm going with Kirk Cousins. I feel like Kirk Cousins has done it year after year of the regular season. It hasn't always happened in the postseason.
Trick question.
But there's just something about Kirk Cousins that I like Kirk.
Well, it's a trick question because that's the knock on both of the guys.
Exactly.
Right?
Makes it a good question.
So who? Yeah, it's a great question. I thought it was fantastic. I'll go Dak. I still believe in Dak. You know, we've got some folks that work here that are Cowboys fans who don't. I won't mention their names and put them on blast like that. But I still believe Dak's got a run in him.
okay. in the next couple of years.
Jamie,
we're looking
break the
at a whole game, not just one drive, one game,
one game.
A whole game. A game.
Four quarters.
Kirk Cousins. If it was a drive, Dak Prescott.
Really? Why?
I just think the whole body of work versus what I see in the personality from Dak Prescott and what he has done in the two-minute drill, specifically, Dak. But I'll do four quarters of Kirk Cousins.
Four quarters of Kirk Cousins? That's
surprised
good
you went with Kirk. To your point,
regular season, what kind of big game is it? He just went generic big game.
That's true. Yeah. I'm going Sam Howell. Never mind. Screw it. Guys, these are North the Carolina, seven levels baby. Of NFC quarterbacks. You know what's fascinating? Everyone is so much more passionate about the AFC quarterbacks. The stakes seem a little higher. Mm. So maybe everyone will not just tell me to get drug tested over and over and over.
The tiers are different, AFC and NFC.
All right.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Did you catch season 3 of This Is Digital? Season 3 of This Is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including digital lessons from the EV revolution and the chief digital officer's role in disruption and culture, featuring guests like Ekta Chopra of Elf Beauty and Tyson Jomini of JD Power. Do you have a digital mindset? Find out by checking out the latest and greatest on season 3 of This Is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.